This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dealing away Minka Fitzpatrick, which if we listen to people talk about the Steelers and former Steelers who are on the air talk about the Steelers and people who are with the Steelers talk about the Steelers, Minka Fitzpatrick, while his production might have declined, is the heart and soul of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Steelers don't go out and do things that seem just irrational things. They don't do that. The Steelers are studied and they're fairly predictable. And that's one of the reasons they win. They stick to, I don't want to say a script, but to a personality right. That fits who they are. I don't get most of that. I don't know what this means. Jalen Ramsey, okay. He's really good for a while and maybe he has a season or two left in him. They're here in the Hall of Fame and they're gone tomorrow. He's like that.
Yeah.
So the Steelers, I'm going, whoa,
this
what are they
fine,
doing?
Mark.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. That is Mike Wilbon flummoxed by the giant Steelers trade from Monday. Fan weather, low of 66, and you guessed it, more rain. Brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Aditi Kinkabwala fought Pirates traffic after a win to come in and sit with us today.
Pony, is there actually more rain? I have to quibble with you. I have a weather
tonight,
app.
Tonight, storms possible, low of 66.
It's storms possible every day.
I have a weather app open right now that does not show me a cloud
today,
until Monday.
Rain.
Nothing. Okay, can I tell Jalen Ramsey's story?
No.
Yes, I'm telling it.
He's
so
mad
two
that I questioned
ago,
his weather forecast. He's very upset.
I'm
do the thing
right
where
along.
Starkey looks out the window.
This
I
is...
read what Donnie printed out for me. Go ahead.
Donnie had the same. Donnie had a forecast for me while Pony was on vacation. It said high of Joe Green, low of Jack Lambert. For five straight days, it was 75 with a low of 58. He admitted to it. He admitted that he got it wrong.
Okay.
Anyway. 2 years ago, so not last season, the year before, I'm on the sidelines of a Dolphins game.
Oh.
I should find out where he's moving. Maybe he will.
Here's my concern.
I have to make sure Eddie Faulkner doesn't sign up his kids.
On your team or his team? You want Faulkner's kids or you don't want Faulkner's kids?
Well, no, Eddie Faulkner and I were on opposing teams last year, so I have to make sure Eddie Faulkner doesn't get Jonnu Smith's kids.
Gotcha.
Oh, so there's recruiting.
Eddie Faulkner, famously blocking me on every social media platform.
I don't think it's just you.
Really?
Oh, really?
Oh, he's got an itchy finger on the block button. Interesting.
Maybe that's just part of avoiding what the media said.
Maybe he's trying to tell his running backs, this is how I need you to be in pass protection, and he's just blocking everything.
You brought
in sight.
Up something with Ray.
Hold on. I want to ask one more question about this. You both said you like the trade. Everybody likes Jonnu Smith for a variety of reasons. The one thing I have to go back to is the quarterback that's going to be throwing them the ball does not have a track record throughout his Hall of Fame, upper room Hall of Fame career of really utilizing the tight ends as featured pieces. It's almost always been with Rodgers. I have multiple good wide receivers. Jordy Nelson going back then. Greg Jennings. There's always been guys at the wide receiver position, and he has not been somebody who's like, I'm going to make it a point to try to get the ball to the tight ends a lot.
But I think that's more a function of the way the teams around him were built than his saying he doesn't like
maybe
the tight end.
You might be right. I also think he got the ball out fast, really fast in New York last year because he can't. We got into an argument about this, so now I'm Now I'm hesitant to bring it up because you're in person.
Why?
Do you make faces?
Say it with your chest. Wait, you got to be
wait,
about it.
When
pony.
I'm on the phone and you argue with me, do you make faces at me? Is
probably. I mean, we have a video stream. You can go back and watch it. You're able to tell.
I don't actually watch the video stream when I'm on.
No, but I just, I feel like it's possible, like we saw with Ben's last year here, that there are guys like Najee Harris was for him, who's a beneficiary of the ball being out so fast. And I think a tight end like Jonnu Smith or Freiermuth could absolutely be that for him.
For sure.
This season. But that.
So why is that creating an argument? Is it just because
No, because I was going to say Aaron Rodgers is getting the ball out so fast because he's old and can't move, not because that's great quarterback play. Ben got the ball out fast because literally really couldn't do anything else anymore. And I think that
but
we saw that with
Aaron
Rodgers.
But that's also part of your evolution. Remember that that was what Todd Haley was charged with helping Ben do when Todd
Haley
came to
Pittsburgh.
But
there, there's
a good way.
That is how much trust you have in your offensive line.
Sure.
Well, that's another big part of
this. There's a good way to get the ball out quickly, and that's Brady with the Bucs, where he was a surgeon in 2.4 seconds because he had the reads done and perfect. Then there was what Ben did his last year plus, where that remember that Washington game?
Sure.
They knocked him from the ranks of the undefeateds, and everyone went, oh my God, he doesn't want to hold the ball. He doesn't want to go downfield with the ball.
Yeah, but
we're just going to press
everybody.
This is
different. In all my time with Aaron Rodgers this past season, I don't think that he is nearly as. Gosh, I need to think of a nice word to. I shouldn't say as.
Gun-shy.
He is not decrepit. He is not afraid for his body. He does not feel.
You feel like he's willing to take hits if it means making plays?
Yes,
here
and I've told you that he feels strongly about his ability to still move a bit. He's not going to move as much as he could in his 20s, obviously, but it's not like he's a statue.
Is the arm as good as it always was? Or
you
close?
Know, I didn't go out and see him in the spring. Did either of you?
No.
Last year, I felt it was.
No, we had.
I didn't feel
Richie Wall saying the zip was unbelievable.
And then people also there saying, yeah, he was throwing the ball like 10 feet. There's
yes,
no
Mason
way to gauge
Mason got
zip.
Mad at Richie and said, did you have RPMs on it? Were you measuring
Mason Rudolph said that to Richie?
Yeah. He said, did you have the spin rate on the throws by
Rodgers?
Is that
just Mason's sarcasm? Because you do know that he has.
Yes, he's being sarcastic because he thinks Richie was being an ass about like reporting. How fast or hard Rodgers was throwing.
I would think spin rate for Mason would just be about his wedges on the golf course.
You know, the spin that comes out of various camps in the spring,
sure,
which is football and shorts,
yep,
is just ludicrous.
Oh, it's
TJ Huzmanzada actually just took on someone who was saying, ooh, Shedeur Sanders looks amazing in Browns camp. Shedeur Sanders is not winning that starting job, okay? But, like, this is what people do in the spring.
TJ Hoosh just had James Harrison on. You want to talk about strange
what a
bedfellows.
Revealing interview that was,
did you
by
see
the way.
That, what Harrison
we
said?
Ran
that
into
was really
I
good.
I did not, but we ran into each other at the Super Bowl. I was talking to James Harrison, and TJ Huszmanzada came by, and we were all together. And then TJ left, and Baker Mayfield walked by, thinking about strange bedfellows.
I think I might have then played these clips for you last week, but just now that Pony's in the room, just hearing Harrison say, my favorite thing about Mike as a coach is also the worst. The best thing about him for me was also the worst, that he's a player's coach. Very revealing, and he would know. And then he said, and this is the other thing, for a guy that's very, I think Mike projects a very, I am a tough football guy, I'm a confident football guy. Harrison saying he didn't want to have the tough conversations and give me tough answers if I asked him tough questions, I thought was
look at the end of Harrison's career
right,
here.
We know how it ended,
my
but like
God.
To hear him say it explicitly, and he's somebody who got away with certain, you know,
I think
he was
James
the
Harrison,
special treatment
like
guy.
Many former players
that's damning.
Here have
it's damning.
Bitten their tongue for a long time.
And James would know about being on both ends of the he's a player's coach. He's the defensive player of the year for a young Mike Tomlin. You're probably going to get a wide berth at that point. He's the guy coming in being told you're kind of a rotational pass rusher, but we have a role for you, and then not finding that role there
this.
Is different.
I will just say this without violating anybody's trust. There are many, many, many former players that I have spoken to that have bitten their tongues about their experience with Mike Tomlin.
I mean, then when are we going to hear, not from you, I don't mean this from you at all, but like on a broad national level, reckoning with like this guy has not been the guy that he's been portrayed to be as far as his results that he's generated and the way like players supposedly uniformly love him. When is that finally going to get talked about?
There's a huge disconnect, right? Because the national media is in love with Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
And the national media never brings up the playoff drought. And the national media never brings up all these wide receivers who can't seem to behave one after another.
But they give
them
credit because they're like, oh, it's even worse after they leave.
He got the best out of them.
Exactly.
They never bring
up. But you could also talk to James Harrison, who will tell you that he helps enable some of that behavior.
And by the way, AB did win a Super Bowl after he left here, so it wasn't like it was all crap.
And also, we were all there. You can go find that viral clip of me interviewing AB. AB was not AB when he first got here.
No, he used to Ryan Clark interviews with Jim Collins.
Ryan Clark said the minute he got paid, it would turn, and that was sort of the direction.
No,
it
wasn't just getting paid. It was not being held to account prior to that.
Mike has very proudly said, fair doesn't mean equal in terms of how I treat you.
You brought up something with Ramsey about how they look at him so versatilely. So that's, in theory, a great thing. But then you actually have to go out and put him in the right spots consistently. And I think that that's like Minka's gripe. You guys didn't use me the right way. So there's part of me that says, well, if Ramsey is kind of a complicated player where there's all these different spots he can play, he's this queen on a chessboard, why would I trust the Steelers to actually do that the right way?
I don't know. You know, Jesse Minter can do it with Derwin James. Brian Flores has done it with Josh Metellus. Now, granted, these guys are sort of safety first.
Aditi, they wouldn't even move Watt off of his rush spot.
I know. And that goes back to the Myles Garrett, TJ Watt conversation.
Oh, God.
Jim Schwartz is willing to line up Myles Garrett everywhere.
Why isn't Mike willing to do these things differently? That's my million-dollar
question. We did hear TJ say at the end of the season that it's on him to make sure that he plays in more than one spot. So,
TJ saying it's on me, myself, TJ Watt.
Yes.
Yeah, it should be on your coach whose job it is to put the pieces on the chessboard.
So what do you think is right, chicken or the egg? That Minka had very clearly lost a step, or that the Steelers made a mistake pigeonholing him into one center field spot on defense?
I feel that, so going back to, I actually was looking at my notes from week four when I had the Steelers last year and we had Minka in our production meeting and we were talking about the lack of turnovers and how it certainly eats at him, but he doesn't want to be obsessed with it. And he told us that Mike Tomlin had promised him, we're going to get you back into position to make splash. That in Minka's mind, it very much, we all saw this in Hard Knocks. Minka is a rules follower. Minka is an extension of the coach. Minka is not going to go out there and freelance. He's just not. He's not an assigned
Samuel.
He got accused
of doing that late in the year by his teammates.
I think there's a piece that at some point you're saying, I'm not being used to the best of my ability. I'm being constrained.
I can only follow the rules so long before I say screw it.
The same way we're talking about being ripped. There's some players can sit here and say, okay, all these fans, we're joking about this, don't know what they're talking about. It's okay. I'm secure and confident in who I am and who my teammates think I am.
Yeah.
And some get really frustrated to be labeled as not being able to play by fans who don't understand how they're constricted.
Well, but look at the spin, though, at the end of the year. So all year, Tomlin and Terrell Austin said, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Just because he doesn't have interceptions doesn't mean he isn't playing great football. He's doing what we asked him to do. The second he gets traded, the insider who's the closest to the owner and the team says, the Steelers traded him. Why? Because he wasn't making enough splash plays. Well, which one is it?
Okay, but this is also...
Right, though?
I hate when you ask me to comment on another journalist, but you have to look at a trend of how many players have been traded and then what happens. It's a ripping on the way out the door. And two things can be true.
Yes.
Two things can be true, okay? But at the end of the day, and I had a conversation with a member of the staff this week, the way that the Steelers are currently playing defense, Jalen Ramsey will be a more impactful player than a pure safety like Minka Fitzpatrick.
Well, yeah, if you line him up 25 yards off the line of scrimmage every play, I agree with you. You watch Thornhill in Cleveland. I am nervous about that, though. I think that guy stinks. He's had calf injuries more than friggin' Kevin Durant. He's always hurt. They hated him there. Oh, my God, did they think he stunk.
You know, I think that when Juan was signed, there were higher hopes. And
from the Browns you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. And from him as well. And he had brought a lot from Kansas City. He went from playing in this unbelievably complicated Steve Spagnuolo defense to a Jim Schwartz defense that every defensive player wants to play for.
Why is that?
Because you just play fast. It's about playing as fast.
Which is supposed to be the appeal of Mike's defense, too, that you play fast. You have one job, pin your ears back and play.
It's not quite the same.
I know it's not. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek here, but that's what you always hear. He's got guys playing downhill. Well, looks like it's a pretty easy defense to solve.
Will you set off?
Sometimes it's about a fresh start.
Will you set off any fireworks on Friday?
No, my son was actually burned by fireworks a few years ago at
I'm
a backyard party.
And
my husband had to be in the ER with him. He's okay. No major skin grafting or surgery. There's
so
not
you guys
even
are very anti-fireworks.
We're a little... I don't really love home fireworks. And I also spent years covering Jason Pierre-Paul, who lost fingers setting off fireworks. So I'm not so into that. I will say this, though. I have another funny story since I'm bringing up my son. So my son, as everybody knows, my son is a Bills fan. Josh Allen is his favorite player. Mm-hmm. Yep. But his father is a diehard Steelers season ticket holder. So Nico, of course, has to have his favorite Steelers player. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he begged for a Kenny Pickett jersey. I buy him the Kenny Pickett jersey. And what happens that offseason? The Steelers trade Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, my son wants another Steelers jersey. Oh, he asks me all sorts of questions
to try to
about
figure out
a variety
favorite.
Of players.
Yep. Who's
and
safe
he's very
here.
Smart about how they play, how they're viewed around the league, how they treat his mommy in the locker room. He selects Minka Fitzpatrick as his favorite. What happens the ensuing offseason? Minka Fitzpatrick
this is
gets
like a
traded.
Pony level
so
kiss of
I
death
said
you're putting
to my,
on these
well,
guys.
I'm hoping he picks T.J. Watt next.
I texted a member of the Steelers organization, and I said, I am never buying a Steelers jersey again. And this person wrote me back, will you please buy an Aaron Rodgers jersey so next year we can get a new quarterback?
Wow. Wow.
God. Man.
But I'm not buying another Steelers jersey.
I think you should get him a Zach Frazier jersey.
I feel like a jersey needs to last longer than one season.
Do you adhere to the
right?
Does your son adhere to the same rules where like I've purchased Penguins jerseys for my wife who's a huge hockey fan and she's like, "Well, once they're gone, unless it's like Lemieux, I won't wear it." If they get traded, Phil Kessel, for example, should have been the playoff MVP. I bought her one. She's like, "Well, I won't wear that."
I have a very
clear
cut take
on this. I think the answer then is to buy a throwback. Is to buy somebody who no longer plays and will all like. I think that if Nico is going to get another Steelers jersey, it has to be like James Harrison
Jack Lambert
or Troy Polamalu.
Malson,
yes,
my take
Joe
on
Green.
That is as long as the guy is still in the league, if he's on another team, I won't wear it. But if the guy's retired,
so
like
it's the same as what Aditi said. If it becomes a throwback, because the second
like
he
Kessel's
retires,
now
it's
a throwback jersey, so your wife should bring it back.
Matt Murray might as well be because he can't really play goal anymore.
I've never bought a jersey in my life for myself because I think it's a little bit
weird. You can say it. I don't
think
it's
weird. When I was in college,
it's weird. I don't think it's weird.
When I was in college, I bought a
millions of people
Miami of Ohio. I bought a Miami University Roethlisberger jersey, which, given my future comments about him and attitude towards him, is one of the most ironic things that's ever happened.
Have you heard that Roethlisberger has passive aggressively gone after Malzi on his podcast since it started?
Really?
Oh, pretty sure. Yeah. Multiple shots.
Are you a regular listener of his podcast?
I'm a never listener unless we have clips of it.
Aditi, thank you so much for making the trek here.
Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
15 minutes away from another edition of Judge Donnie. Today in Judge Donnie's courtroom, we'll be debating, should the Pirates trade... Yeah, thank you, Aditi. We'll be debating, should the Pirates trade Mitch Keller at 5:30? I don't know what side I'm on. Malzi doesn't know what side he's on, so no one has an advantage.
We attempted to do a surprise Judge Donnie with Jeff Hathorn last week, but the problem was Jeff, right up until the point where he was told what his side of the topic would be, thought he would just be the judge. And I was like, Jeff, the segment is called Judge Donnie.
Well, because the problem was when you guys were both off, he was the judge, and I argued against Dom. And it was like I was Cochran and he was some...
F. Lee Bailey?
Yeah.
Or Clark.
If he walked into the offices of LGKG, for example, they would have laughed him out of there and said, get out of here.
Dom? Okay? Yes. He was that bad? What was his argument?
A horrible one.
Didn't stand up to legal scrutiny?
No.
I can't imagine Dom would be like that.
Right, Dan? I mean, Dan Zangrilli with us here. Don't you think if he walked in there at LGKG and said, hi, I'm Dom DiTommaso, I'm applying for a job here as an attorney, they would immediately have him escorted off the premises?
Joe George and especially Larry Kelly, they would show no mercy. They're really good guys, but they would absolutely have laid complete and utter waste to him, and there would have been nothing left of Dom. So I would advise that
there isn't much to begin with
along those lines, especially with those guys.
Yeah. All right, Dan, you saw it in person. Pirates made it 6 in a row. You went viral for your tweet after the game. This has not happened. Yes, you did. The gap between runs scored, runs surrendered, something like the 1884 Cincinnati Reds as the last time something like this happened. So, I mean, is it as easy as Donnie Kelly's a good manager and Derek Shelton is a bad manager?
No.
Is it close to that?
I think that the aesthetics, the vibe, just the overall brand of baseball is cleaner. And they're clearly responding better to Kelly than they are Shelton. I don't think that there's any denying that. Anybody that has a set of eyes can see that. But I'm also not going to throw a ton of dirt on Derek Shelton's grave, and I'm not going to be burying my head in the sand and saying that, okay, well, Derek Shelton, he didn't have in their current iteration off of injury with a good amount of at-bats under their belt, Nick Gonzalez and Spencer Horwitz in the lineup for that 12 and 26 start. So
he also put Colin Holderman in leverage situations over and over and over and over again, Dan.
And I'm not going to sit here and advocate, and I'm not stumping for our boy Shelty by any stretch of the imagination. Don Kelly is a better manager. The vibe is better. Again, the quality of play is better. The team has responded far better under Don Kelly than they have. His record is what he says he is. He has 18 wins and 9 losses at PNC Park. He's 2 games over 500. And if you look at the schedule ever since he took over, Andrew, going back to May 9th, he has had a gauntlet of a schedule. There's been one cupcake series, and that's the Miami Marlins, June 9 through 11. Everything else has been a playoff contender or a club with a winning record, starting from the Atlanta Braves all the way to and through this recent series against the Cardinals. The only reprieve that they had was June 9, 10, and 11 when they took 2 of 3 from the Miami Marlins. So what he's done against that competition over this time is impressive.
Dan, what do you think, or what one player has been the biggest difference maker in this little 6-game streak? One guy you'd highlight and say, his work has really been the catalyst for this.
I mean, it starts with Hayes, I think, but Horwitz has also been really good. Pham has been really good. Cruz has shown some spurts as well. Davis had a 4-for-4 game the other night, so it's not isolated to one, but if I have to pick one, I think it's what Hayes has been able to do, because I think not only over the course of, you know, this stretch that he's on, he's had, I think, some of the more impactful at-bats. Let's go back to, I would say, the third game, I believe it was, against the Mets in the first inning. Hayes is at the plate, okay, two strikes and two outs with Frankie Montas on the mound. He's one pitch away of getting out of that first inning completely unscathed, and that likely changes the entire dynamic of what turns out to be a 12-1 Pirates win. Well, Hayes is able to come through with a 2-2, two-out, two-run single, and that opens the floodgates. O'Neill Cruz then proceeds to hit a two-run homer. Tommy Pham proceeds to go deep. So one pitch away, Montas, from getting out of that inning. Hayes fights off the two-strike pitch, gets a two-run single, and then the Pirates get five instead of none in that first inning. So those are the little things that are happening right now, and these are the players that are doing this sort of stuff that they weren't doing 2 months ago that is moving the needle for the Pirates and has them playing some of their best baseball, obviously, in whether it's decades or centuries, depending on which historical note you're looking at.
It is July, so that means every baseball conversation has the expectation and obligation of at least something to be said about the trade deadline. So I'll ask you this, Dan. Mitch Keller today, do you think a performance like that makes it more likely or less likely that he's dealt?
I would hope it would give them pause. I don't know if it's one way or the other. I can't predict this one because I think that it literally could go other way. But I would prefer not to. I would prefer not to trade him because he, to me, is a surefire thing. He's the safest guy that you have in your rotation. The largest sample size of professional work. I think there are other players that you can trade that might be able to net you a similar return. I'd rather trade Bailey Falter than Mitch Keller. I'd rather trade one of the young guys. I'd rather trade Mike Burrows. I might even want to trade Braxton Ashcraft instead of Mitch Keller, because after what he did not only today, but the guy has now, I think, 12 quality starts. There's only 5-6 other pitchers in baseball, Andrew, that have made this many quality starts.
Well, yes, but the All-Star game hasn't happened
every
yet.
Every time he takes... What, fair. That's true. I acknowledge all of that. But listen, this guy is pretty steady when you average out the overall body of work, okay?
Except that the games are played in August or September.
So you think that he's going to – I mean, I guess we'll have the conversation, and I don't think we can. Obviously, we have to make up our mind before July 31 for the purpose of this conversation. I get that, but I don't think I want to get off of Mitch Keller because it's still relatively affordable, and it's still pretty steady stuff that you get. And maybe – I guess, yeah, Andrew, if it does, I'll concede – you know, there's a significant September start. The Pirates are in contention, or heck, heaven forbid, if you're in the three-game wild card series, he gets the ball in the decisive game, perhaps. Do you have some reservation?
I mean,
maybe,
I'm not even talking about something like that all the way down the road, like he doesn't have the nerve for it. I'm just saying for whatever reason, whether it's the workload or what, like the second halves of the season have just been atrocious from him. You could get Josh Fogg to go out there and give you 5 or 6 innings like he has for the last 30 starts of the last two seasons. I'm talking about 15 in the second half of 2023 and 15 in the second half of 2024. It's just been
It's a
brutal.
Fair argument, a good argument, in fact. Yeah, no doubt, but I don't know, man. I still like that guy in the back end of the rotation. Innings are at a premium. I think that, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily who he is. Are you sold that he's going to be a second half collapse guy?
No, I'm not.
I know.
I'm not.
Oh, so there's a little intrigue, right? So you're not completely, I guess, on sell Mitch Keller, because I'm not completely sold that he is a second half collapse guy, and I guess the intrigue of him being able to put together, whether it be 200 innings or 30 starts of a pretty consistent body of work, that's still there for me, that it would deter me enough that I would want to trade other people who are less of a sure thing than. Get rid of a guy that is basically a walking, talking quality start.
Dan, the Pirates, as we sit right now, I cannot believe I am asking you this with a straight face.
But he is.
are 9.5 games out of a wild card spot. The All-Star break is coming in the next week and a half or so. How many games out would the Pirates have to be at the All-Star break? They have 9 more games. How many games out would they have to be from a wild card spot for Ben Cherington to do the unthinkable, walk into Bob Nutting's office and say, "Bob, I actually think we need to buy at this deadline"?
I would say 4. Because, and I guess the answer is, and I have to ask you another question, Chris, to really answer it with the conviction that I'd like to answer it. Is the offense that they've shown the last 10 to 20 days, is it the offense that we believe will be in place moving forward? If the offense is closer to this iteration than it is April and the first few weeks of May, then no. But if the answer is yes, they're scoring 4 runs, we feel good about the ability, and we have a bunch of people 1 through 9 in our lineup in a good enough place that we can score 4 runs, then yes, I buy in. And the reason is because they are 25-12 when they score 4 runs. They win twice as many games than they lose. They're not 3 or 5 or even 10 games over 500 when they score the requisite 4 runs. They win twice as many games than they lose when they score 4 runs. So if you buy in to those in the lineup that are producing, and assuming that they climb to a place of 3 or 4 games within the race, Chris, then I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, I buy in. Because, listen, there's a track record with Tommy Pham the second half of the year. Spencer Horowitz is supposed to be a pretty consistent guy. Hayes, I think, is a big wild card here. You know what you have in McCutcheon. You know what you have in Reynolds. Cruz, obviously, can go either way at any time. And, like the flick of a switch, can hit the ball out of the ballpark and change a ball game. Even if he is 1 for his last 27 with 20 strikeouts, there still does exist that ability to change the ball game in the blink of an eye. So I would buy if the Pirates are within 4 games, inside of 4 games in this National League wild card, because the pitching is that good.
Dan Zangrilli, his weekly appearance is with us, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Thank you, Dan. We'll talk again next week. Goodbye.
Guys, thank you. Bye now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Time for Judge Donnie, brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal situations. You know, we haven't heard...
Solutions.
Solutions. What'd I say?
Situations?
Oh.
You want an affordable legal situation?
You know, we haven't heard Judge Donnie say in a while, in his southern drawl?
Mr. Filippone has won the case.
No? Well, no. Well, yeah, right, because we haven't had one of these in a little while with all three of us. He hasn't asked for order in his courtroom.
That's true, actually. He hasn't had to. A lot of people have been very deferential to the judge.
You boys behave well for me.
As befitting his stature.
But I do need you to rise up, Mr. Phillip.
As one of America's foremost jurists.
My Achilles is bothering me, so I was just resting it.
Oh, yeah, because you worked too hard, right? You were worried that you popped it because
I still am.
You've lifted too hard.
I think worst case or best case scenario, I have tendonitis. Worst case scenario, I could blow out my Achilles and rupture it any day now.
Have you thought about consulting a doctor who specializes in this?
I'm talking to somebody on Monday about it.
Somebody. Is that person a doctor?
Or physical trainer. What?
Okay. I mean, doctor, physical therapist,
can we
trainer?
Get some order in here, Donnie, and get to the
yeah, he just
case.
Wants you to say it. He just desperately wants you to say it.
All right, boys. Today's case, I don't know which side you're on.
Well, we got
you guys decide that.
Yep.
But today's case, should the Pirates trade Mitch Keller?
All right, rock, paper, scissors, Malzy. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Damn. You get to pick.
Your Honor, it's a pleasure to be in your courtroom again. The Pirates should trade Mitch Keller because you cannot allow yourself to be fooled by 1 week of not just good, but I'll admit, terrific baseball. Is Mitch Keller's value to this team greatest as he tries to help a 12 games under 500 outfit with still a considerable negative run differential make an absurdist run to a playoff spot that has almost no chance of succeeding? No. His greatest value as a pretty steady pitcher whose ERA is under 4 and starting pitching is something that is craved in Major League Baseball at all times and all years, this year being no different. His greatest value is as a trade chip for one of the many teams in what is going to be a seller's market because virtually everybody in Major League Baseball still thinks that they have a chance to make the playoffs. And once you have a chance to get in, then you've got a chance to get hot, go on a run, and maybe win a World Series. Mitch Keller has been a good soldier for the Pirates until recently losing 15 of 16 decisions, most of the time through little fault of his own. Starting pitchers who are reliable, who will take the ball, who don't seem to be an injury risk, do not grow on trees. I am loath to give Ben Cherington the keys to trading anybody because I think Ben Cherington still, despite this run of good baseball, has assembled a bad baseball team. But I can't live in my fears, to use a cross-sport comparison and a saying from Mike Tomlin, and not have somebody execute a trade just because I wish they weren't the GM. Holding on to Mitch Keller would be akin to malpractice because most of the players that have been the catalysts on the field for this Pirates run, guys like Tommy Pham, they're not going to be here next year. Guys like Andrew Heaney, who have been part of good rotational balance for the pitching staff, they won't be here either. This team shouldn't fool anybody out there. They're still a seller despite this six-game run. And as a true dyed-in-the-wool, legit middle-of-the-rotation starter, Mitch Keller is their most valuable trade piece.
Mr. Filippone.
Your Honor, we all know that Attorney Mueller really has no shot at ever working at the Myers Law Group where they have affordable legal solutions. Because in the middle of that long, meandering take, he defeated his own argument by bringing up one name, Ben Cherington. And he knew that Ben Cherington was going to defeat his case, and that's why he tried to get out in front of it. They don't need to trade Mitch Keller right now because he's not on an expiring contract. Someone else can trade Mitch Keller this offseason or next year. Donnie, would you get in the car with a guy who repeatedly, Judge Donnie, my bad, would you get in the car with someone who repeatedly took their car and drove at 75 miles per hour into a building over and over and over again? No, you wouldn't. So why would you trust someone to trade a pitcher when we can look at his resume and see, oh, I don't know, Joe Musgrove for Hudson Head. How about this old ditty, Clay Holmes for Hoy Park? And who could ever forget Jameson Taillon for Rowanzi Contreras? Jackson Smith and Jigba's brother, whose name I've forgotten. Miguel Yajure and someone else who we've never seen before. This is a massive deal because Mitch Keller is in demand. After Sandy Alcantara, he is the biggest name pitcher who could be available theoretically at the trade deadline. The problem is the Pirates have someone who is incompetent in situations where he has an established major league player and he has to trade him for prospects or other hitters. He can't evaluate hitters. As one source told Dejan Kovacevic, he wouldn't know the difference between Mickey Mantle and Mickey Mouse.
How about some order in your damn court? He's abusing his time.
1 minute final argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Filippone, Counselor Filippone, defeated his own argument halfway in there by acknowledging this idea that you don't have to trade Mitch Keller right now. He's not on an expiring contract. That very fact makes him even more tradable and it makes it even more imperative that you do, in fact, trade him because a team would want to take on that non-expiring contract this season while he could help their team and not wait until after the season when he can't help their team this season. Counselor Filippone also selectively decided to omit trades that have gone Ben Cherington's way thus far. Trading Bailey Falter after he was giving away Rodolfo Castro, a guy who had a cell phone fly out of his pocket. Bailey Falter, solid major leaguer. Spencer Horwitz, now that he is healthy, has been a good trade. Admitted to earlier in this show by Counselor Filippone that Luis Ortiz has not been good. I'm not saying Ben Cherington's tenure has been all roses, but it hasn't been all thorns on the trade front like Counselor Filippone suggests.
Go ahead, Mr. Filippone.
Okay, thank you. There was a delay there. I don't need a delay. I don't need a pause to try to catch my breath here and come up with a very winning argument. Counselor Mueller brought up Rodolfo Castro for Bailey Falter. I'm sorry. I must have missed something there. Is Rodolfo Castro a pitcher? Is Rodolfo Castro one of these guys who has a big contract, who is a former All-Star, who you're flipping for either a big-time prospect or a pool or collection of prospects? No. Maybe he's won minor trades. He has not won big trades. I omitted trades like Josh Bell and Starling Marte, other horrible moves by Cherington when he had the big fish and he was looking to replenish because they were hitters that got traded. I'm sorry. A blind squirrel did find a nut in the Spencer Horwitz, Luis Ortiz trade, although the jury is still very much out on that deal because we've only seen Horwitz for a month. Ortiz has pitched to a 4 ERA and what Counselor Mueller also omitted is there were two more prospects that were included in that trade. And I don't know how something I said that was not in court is permissible here, Judge.
Can Counselor Filippone name either of those prospects in that trade?
I can.
Okay.
Brian Knobs and Jerry Sags.
Counselor Filippone has clearly tried to appeal to the judges' predilection for pro wrestling by naming the Nasty Boys. I'm just saying. How about I just say they traded Road Warrior, Animal, and Hawk and got back D-Generation X? He's turning your courtroom into a farce, Judge.
You're going to stand for that?
In this case, boys, in this trade, in this scenario, I do side with Counselor Filippone.
Yes! Oh, my God! Judge, have you lost your mind?
It may be the right decision for the team to do this. The man at the wheel, though, is not the man I trust.
Congratulations, Judge. You, like Counselor Filippone, are living in your fears. And as we know, that's done wonders for Mike Tomlin lately. It was the Nasty Boys line that put it over the top.
Was it?
He panicked and he used a rhetorical trick.
No.
Yeah. And you picked. I think that's the first time in Judge Donnie's courtroom someone has picked what they wanted to argue and lost.
I didn't want to take a reductive argument like, oh, Ben Cherington sucks at his job.
Why? You would have won.
Yeah, well, I've made that argument too many times on the air already. I wanted to challenge myself.
Oh, yes, because making the argument that Roethlisberger was overrated or that Kenny Pickett blows repeatedly did not ever, you know, you didn't decide one day, oh, you know what, I've only said this 98 times.
I don't really think I've ever said Roethlisberger was overrated. Maybe locally. I think he's properly rated. He's going to go into the Hall
of Fame. You
know
what? Somebody brought up, we have a second for this. So someone was bringing up to me, hey, your worst take, meaning me. Mm-hmm. We should do a list one day during the summer here
power rank our worst five takes.
We'll let our listeners do that. Just find them. Scan the interwebs and just find the 10 worst takes I've ever had.
Wait, I know it's hard to boil it down. Are my 10 on there too? Or do you think that I'm not like, I'm not as bold?
Give me a second here. So I was chatting with someone and they said, your Pickett to Pickens is the new Montana to Rice is probably your worst take.
It's the Babe Ruth of bad takes.
And I said, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, what would Malzie's be?
Wait, hold on. Your Pickett to Pickens thing has competition. Mason Rudolph will have a better NFL career than Lamar Jackson. Okay, that is up there, my friend.
Okay, that was in the moment while a Steelers preseason game was going on.
The best time to fire off takes.
But that was only like a one-off. I didn't dig my heels in on that like I did with the Pickett to Pickens stuff.
Okay, what's my worst one?
So here's what was brought up, and I actually agree with this. It's not a predictive take like mine was.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think this is your worst one. And Donnie, I don't know if you've heard this before, because I don't know if you were producing our show back then. Mahler and I once got into a very heated debate that went for like 40 minutes, and we blew off the clock because Craig didn't know like what to do or keep us in line.
Mm-hmm.
Because Chris battened down the hatches on this take. Ben Roethlisberger had a bad 2008 season. That was his take.
I remember
that. That was your take.
I dug in hard. I said bad regular season.
Year. And I said
bad regular season.
No, you did not.
Sure.
You did not. You did not.
Can you find the audio?
I said, if you just said bad regular season, there would have been, I would have disagreed with you, but there
actually,
would have been
now
to have a 40-minute debate
back
about
to
it.
Me. No, now I can actually remember digging in and like gleefully digging in on the inside. I was smiling on the inside.
A bad year in 08. And he said, look at the numbers. Yeah. Look at the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the numbers?
Yeah, I did do that. My worst predictive take is an easy one, but it's not like a fun player. I once said the Penguins were like in the throes of still like being very competitive, and they brought in a guy, Donnie, from Russia named Sergei Plotnikov. And I made like some stupid ass prediction with Starkey that like the name, we did like a Penguins preseason, like what are we going to be talking about? And I said, you're going to hear the name Sergei Plotnikov because he's going to be like one of the best rookies in the NHL. He had 1 point in the NHL and then slunk back to the KHL.
But the thing that you seem to be able to do is you only like say these things once or twice.
Yeah.
So people forget them. If you were to like say them repeatedly and often, then you would become like synonymous with these things. But actually, I think you are synonymous with maybe Ben Roethlisberger. You do think Roethlisberger is overrated. I don't think that's
locally for sure. I think people who like try to put him in the Hall of Fame upper room, he's not quite an upper room guy.
You scoff when I say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I wouldn't put him in on the first ballot, but I would reserve that honor for very few people. Like to me, here, modern player that is to me a first ballot Hall of Famer, Aaron Donald. If Aaron Donald has to wait to the second ballot, something horrible happened.
Yes, but you also said Luke Kuechly was a first ballot Hall of Famer. And with all due respect to Kuechly, who was an all pro every year he played, he didn't play very long.
I mean, it's hard for me to put a guy in on the first ballot when he played the most important position in the sport and never garnered one single MVP vote.
Okay.
That's hard for me to put him in as the first ballot guy. Like, that's the way we delineate these watered down halls of fame now, is first ballot is closer to upper room kind of player. Joe Thomas, first ballot upper room Hall of Famer. Never played a single playoff game. Probably one of the three best left tackles ever to put on cleats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just how I do it. Darrell Revis, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer in my mind? Yeah, he is. Like, that's how I looked at him when he was done. Best cornerback in the league for what, at least 6-7 years?
But what I don't get is the quarterback is so much more important than any of these other positions. So when a guy is, yeah, there's only two quarterbacks who make the All-Pro team. Oh, there's only one that makes the first team,
mm-hmm.
and there's one that makes the second team. So two out of 30 or 32 get picked every year. So, all right, maybe Ben was third some years.
I think
years.
There have been four quarterbacks so far in this century that are easy
like,
first ballot Hall of Fame guys for me.
Donnie, let me ask you this question now that we're on this tangent.
Of course, our guy Nate has found my big Sergei Plotnikov take.
If you were running a Hall of Fame, would you rather put the fifth best quarterback from an era into that Hall of Fame or the second best guard?
Might be asking the wrong guy. I mean, I just think given how important quarterback is,
right?
There, because we've talked about this before. Like, there are not enough.
Yes.
There's so many.
It's my TED talk. It's my big take.
Like, we can say, oh, it's so watered down.
The Hall of Fame's underserved quarterbacks.
Right, but there are, like, not enough quarterbacks.
There are.
Despite it being a watered-down Hall of Fame to people.
We put more wide receivers in than quarterbacks. It makes no sense to me.
I would say of guys who've played, I guess I would call it the slight majority here because there's one who's on the border. The majority of their careers are the entirety in this century at quarterback. I feel like there's only four slam-dunk first-ballot guys, and one being left off is going to surprise you. Brady's obvious. Actually, I think Rodgers is an obvious one. I think Peyton Manning is an obvious first-ballot slam-dunk guy, and I actually already think Patrick Mahomes is. That's my list. Breeze is not there yet for me as like a slam dunk. Neither is Lamar.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.